We're going to begin today's meeting, and I do want to ask our brothers and sisters to turn on your video in the main pursuit meeting room, please. And let's begin with a time of prayer. May we truly learn to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. If he moves you, please lead us in a short prayer. We need more brothers and sisters to open up their mouths. And as we gather in this way, may it not be a restraint or inconvenience to us. Do follow according to the leading in the Spirit and feel free to pray. We truly need the Lord's grace. And so, brothers and sisters, our prayers are truly important. Let's begin.
Recording in progress.
Lord, we do thank and praise you for your grace. It is because of your mercy and your grace that allows brothers and sisters from various locations to be able to gather in your presence. We do pray that today, through this precious gathering, Lord, that you would speak to the church. We do pray that through the fellowship and sharing of brothers and sisters, that those who speak and those who hear may be full of your anointing, and that we may gain the provision that comes from the Lord. Lord, do grant to us a heart that is desperate, Lord, so that we would not only say that we're willing to receive your word, but that we are willing to even more know, understand, and love our Lord, to know more of Christ, that you are the treasure of our life. So for today's meeting, we place it into your gracious hand. May your Holy Spirit lead and fill this meeting, so that brothers and sisters would have freedom in the Spirit. Set us free, that together we may come into your presence. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that once again we have this opportunity to come and rest at your feet. In this period of time, may you freely move among us. Do move us so that everything within us is open and laid bare before you. We want to have direct fellowship with you. So, Lord, as one another, may we mutually encourage one another to be with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, you are the Lord who speaks. And through this opportunity to fellowship, and as we share testimonies, memorize scripture, or when our brother shares your word, we pray that you would manifest yourself in this fellowship and in your words reveal yourself and also meet the needs of the church. As we come to the very end of this age, the powers of darkness are so rampant. But at this time, Lord, through your word, may it be more and more clear. Your word, may it be even more deep and more thorough. And your power through the group, through the individual, may it be manifest here on earth. And we do pray that your kingdom and the power will, we pray that it would come quickly. And in our gathering before you, may all of us who come before you meet the requirement of your throne. for all these participants today online, every saint, or later those who listen to this recording. We place them all into your hands. May you do the work that man is unable to do. We know that you are even more clear regarding the condition of the darkness and the things that will occur here on earth. All of these things, Lord, how we need your special mercy and work that we may be strengthened. Lord, may your precious blood cover and cleanse all things, that your church may be fully equipped with the spiritual armor. And Lord, we do pray that you would give us an open heaven so that this gathering be full of your presence. May it be full of the moving of your spirit. And we receive the provision of heaven. In your most precious name we pray. Amen. Abba, Heavenly Father, before you we are so full of thanksgiving and praise because according to the blood of your Son, we can come boldly before you. Our hearts are so full of thanksgiving and praises. We worship you. And for in Christ, you have already accomplished great things for us. And in these end days, once again, you want to open up the eyes of our spirit. And before all the saints of this earth, you want to express and manifest yourself in the days that you return, of your return, you want to come back. And so, Lord, we want to respond here and say, we are here, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you because you have no regret in what you have done. And you have called us, not according to our deeds, but according to your will and grace. And in Christ, you are so abundant to us. And so we want to praise you through your Son, through death. You have already defeated the one who holds death. And you have already given us the incorruptible life. It is already within us and it is expressed among your saints. And so as we gather together, we know you are with us. We have no fear. We have no doubts and confusion because we know that our God is with us. And so we truly want to praise you and worship you. We pray that you would grab a hold of this amount of time. May you reign as king. And may you capture every thought unto yourself. We give you all the glory, honor, and worship and praise to yourself. May you have the right place. We thank you and praise you. And before you, we have, because everything before you is, you dwell with us right now. And so we give ourselves completely into your hands. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, as we come before you, we truly want to thank and praise you. Because in these end days, particularly for the young brothers and sisters among us, Lord, we do want to offer up our thanksgiving and praise. And in this pursuit, may you do the work that man is unable to do. So that we would have a very clear goal and that our footsteps would be sure. And so as brothers and sisters in your presence, if you do not capture us, we thank you. In your most precious name we pray, amen. Amen. Lord, our hearts desire after you and pants after you, just like a deer panteth after the brook. And Lord, as we pursue after you, not only have you given us the life of your word, the word of life, But Lord, you have also given us the teaching of your anointing to us in these very last days. May you raise us up. May you gain us, just like what is spoken of in Revelation. Lord, we want to be picked as those first fruits and that we would have a portion in your will. We want to hasten your return. Lord, do use this amount of time so that saints in all localities may be built up. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen. Lord Jesus, our hearts truly do desire after you. We want to truly hear your voice. May we not remain in darkness. But we do pray that in this amount of time, may we be enlightened and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord, we do thank you that we once again have this opportunity to gather in your presence. Lord, you have not yet returned. We know that you are bearing with us. You have given us many opportunities. And so for this desire in pursuing after you, we place it into your gracious hands. Lord, through your Spirit, may you yourself guide us, direct us, so that in these last days we would know how to follow you, so that in this little bit of pursuit, may you gain more of us, so that we may be like those who have been caught by the fish net, Lord, so that we would be captured by you. We do pray that in this amount of time to richly anoint us, no matter where our brothers and sisters are, that we be full of your anointing. And we do gather with great rejoicing. May every brother and sister be filled by you yourself. Lord, we know that you are the Lord who loves us. You are willing to give us your blessing and grace. And so together we prostrate ourselves to worship you. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. We will now pause our prayers. And as we begin, we will still ask brothers and sisters to memorize scripture together. Today we are going to memorize Colossians chapter 4. This is the last chapter of the book, and we're going to ask our brothers and sisters in Minneapolis to memorize in Chinese first, and then later, brothers and sisters in Seattle will memorize in English. I'm now going to give the time to our brothers and sisters in these two locations. Our saints in Minneapolis will begin. We thank our brothers and sisters. To memorize together online is not easy, but we thank the Lord that brothers and sisters had spent and used the effort to memorize God's words. This effort is worth it. And we do hope that today in this generation, that there be more brothers and sisters who will love God's word, that you would memorize it into your heart. And in this time, we do want to encourage brothers and sisters. I thank the Lord because so many have been diligent to memorize. And I do want to remind brothers and sisters, because it's not easy in these days to spend this time to memorize the book of Colossians. You have finished it. And now just because we finished it and now we are done, and it's like you've turned in your assignment and now you don't need to do anything. I do hope, brothers and sisters, that you can constantly repeat God's words in your own mind, in your thoughts. Next month, if possible, we hope, brothers and sisters, that let's memorize from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 4. In this amount of time, we give you an opportunity to review. I do believe many brothers and sisters, you've all memorized it very, very well, but this is an encouragement. Even if you cannot do the entirety, it's okay, but no matter what, we want brothers and sisters in God's word, forgive me for saying, but you need to be able to tumble around in it to a point where you are very thorough and very well versed in it. This is an opportunity to help you. And so next month, how we're going to do this, I still need to meditate and think about it. And we'll have some fellowship together in what manner we're going to do this. Next time, no matter whether you memorize in Chinese or in English, in this coming month, if you have an opportunity to review and to go through the entire book, do memorize it. On that day, in Chinese and English, together, let's do it together. If in our memories, because you're older and you're not as well versed in it, just read it several times. And together, we will recite God's words with those who have memorized. In this way, this perhaps you feel you've been forced, but this effort is worth it. I do hope that, brothers and sisters, you can be well-versed in God's word. We thank the Lord. Many of you have spent a lot of time before the Lord to memorize his words. May the Lord himself, because of the time that you have spent and your experience, may he greatly bless you. In the following amount of time now, we're still going to go back in this matter of following the teaching of the anointing. We want to have some more fellowship on this because it's very important. We do feel that a lot of the things that have been lost, gradually we want to recover it so that the Lord will have more opportunity to do his work in us. And as we begin, I've asked some brothers and sisters to share with us some of their testimony. If later on we still have more time, in your heart, also be prepared. If you have really been moved, you have had this opportunity, don't withhold it. Just share on one point, just one thing. And as brothers and sisters, in this fellowship, it's a mutual encouragement to one another. Because in this life, for myself personally, I feel that in our individual church life, this is the most important experience. And so in this pursuit, we want to recover it. And so as we begin, I want to ask Brother Michael in Houston, he has some burden and he's willing to share with us. So now we pass it on to Brother Michael. Hello, brothers and sisters. Everyone can hear me? Quickly, I just want to share two experiences. These are all delayed obedience. The first, perhaps, was a little faster because I knew I did something wrong and I needed to be corrected. The second was a very lengthy lesson because it wasn't that I was wrong, but after many years, I realized it was not my intention, and so I want to share quickly these two experiences. It will not go beyond 5 to 6 minutes. The first story. At the end of the 90s, brother son, when we began to have pursuit meeting, we were all learning how to follow the teaching of the anointing. At that time, my work was very far away. I was at the East Hill. It was very far from Seattle. And then after one day of work, I needed to change the motor oil of my vehicle. I went to a quick store. And then I checked how much oil I had, motor oil, in my stick. And then I threw away the paper towel I used to wipe the oil. And then I got in my car and left. After I left, the Holy Spirit said, "No, pick up the paper towel you just threw away." And I said to the Lord, "Lord, it was just a paper towel." And I ignored it and went on. But the Spirit kept telling me I needed to go back. Because if I had a drive, it took 30 to 60 minutes. After I struggled for a long time, about halfway through, the Holy Spirit did not allow me to go home. I had to go back and pick up my litter. I said, "Okay, Lord, I already ran halfway. It's difficult for me, not practical. So tomorrow after work, I will go back and pick up my litter." And so the next day, I really did go back. And that one paper towel that was there on the grass, of course, quickly it flies away. But after a whole day, that paper towel was still there as I picked it up. So in my heart, I really thank the Lord. He is so practical. Even though I was late, it was not too late. I thank the Lord. This was my small experience. The second I learned is a lesson of 21 years. When I think back in the earliest time, this was a matter that occurred in 1996. I just moved back to Seattle. Brother Sun has some fellowship with us and mentioned this term that we needed to have some ministry regarding writing because I don't really have any gift in this. But Brother Tios and Sparks had a book, and in that book it says when we were reading that book, our brother was we were all looking at the book, and I was translating some of the books. And there were some places that was difficult to translate. I didn't know how to translate. But there were no good translations. And so in my heart, I had this thought, this is such a good book, such good content. How can we skip it? Because I thought maybe I could just skip it. Because I thought maybe later on I could translate this book. I had such a thought. But then 2003, I moved to Florida. And at the end of the year, I didn't have too much to do. And then I began to pick up this book again. And in the past, I didn't understand this book. I only heard about an explanation from our brother's son when he read that first part. But at that time, I all of a sudden began to understand it. And then I began to read it. And so at the end of that year of 03 and then 04, I gradually began to do this work of translation. And then I had this thought of publishing it. At first, I kept rejecting it, thinking I should not. But first, I need to honor how our brother T. Austin Sparks had written his book. But now if I need to publish it, I said, no, I should not do this. And secondly, I had this moving, but I have no desire to do this translation work or scribing work. I'm not worthy to do this type of service. And thirdly, before this, I remember one time at WCCC, I asked Brother Guo, there's so many spiritual books. Do you not know? No, the good books, nobody buys them. People always buy the not so good books. To publish something, I want to publish the good ones, not the bad ones. But these good ones, if nobody buys it, then I have to lose money. I have to get ready to lose money because I've come to America for these many years. It's difficult for me to do some of this. And so I rejected it. About 10 some years have, so many things have changed. And I had a lot of different things happen to me, like how I hurt my back. It's difficult for me to sit for many, many hours. And so every time I thought about doing this type of work, I rejected it. But in about 2005, something had happened that gave me this thought to have a very detailed thought regarding publications. After I thought and prayed about this for about a year, and I did seek after Brother Sun. And then another year had passed, a year and a half had passed, and some more problems until 2017, about the middle of August. My youngest had entered into college, and I had two daughters in college. And because I needed to pay tuition, after I paid tuition, I had to take her to school. I didn't really think about my bank account. But as soon as I paid the tuition, I realized, oh no, I have no more money. How am I going to pay for the rest of her tuition? After I come to America for so many years, even though everything had been met, but now all of a sudden I realized I could not pay it. And at that time, this thought of publication came up again. And I said, Lord, how can I be a responsible father? How can I even do this? And the Holy Spirit enlightened me that this is of my will, not your will. After these many decades, you're always struggling for yourself. You're defending yourself, but in the way of the cross, you have to deny yourself. And so at that moment, the Holy Spirit allowed me to understand that after these many decades, it's not my will, it's the Lord's will. I need to serve the Lord. And then I immediately kneeled before the Lord and said, Lord, since this is of your will, I need to obey. If you want me to publish, then I will. And so at that time, I went to do a home equity loan so that I could publish. So I said to the Lord, you give me another confirmation that this is of you and not of myself. In this way, then I will know it's of you. So in these 2 years, he gave me the name to be a publishing company. And then in the home equity loan, everything went through in the loan process. At first, it was rejected and I was very mad. I thought, this is crazy. I was mad. And so I went to apply a second time. And second time, it was rejected again. And at this time, I said, Lord, you don't want me to be a publishing company now? And so we were all trying to save money. And then we came to the end of the year. My child needed to go to college. I needed to pay tuition at the end of the year. I needed to pay property tax and all these things. And it was a very huge amount. I said, Lord, how can I pay this? And Lord, you don't want me to do the home equity loan. We're trying to save money. We're going to move forward somehow. We thank the Lord. At 2017 and 2018, all the money that I saved, my child's tuition, we were able to pay it. And property tax, we were able to pay it. And then we had enough money to publish several books. And so after 21 years in this lesson, we learned from that time till now, since the Lord had placed me on this path, according to faith, I need to serve in this ministry of publications. So now by faith, we're still moving forward. To this point now, we have about 30 some brothers and sisters from different locations. Everybody, we're all paying a price so that we could publish. So we have quite a few books, including some of Brother Sun's. So after we publish, we just gift it to many brothers and sisters. Just like in beginning of June, There are many brothers and sisters that we've sent books to them. So many of you also have some of these books. So in these years, this is how we've gone through it. Even though it's delayed obedience, that delayed 20 some years, but I thank the Lord, even though it's late, but it's still according to the will of the Lord and we obeyed. This is my second sharing. I apologize for being a little lengthy. Next, we're going to ask Brother Hongzong. Is Brother Hongzong there? In Minneapolis, Brother Andrew, is there anybody in your fellowship there? I'll pass the time to you. We have three, including myself. I'm going to first ask Brother Adrian, I want to share something that happened in my workplace. After my work, I wanted to request this pair of headphones, and they had three different kinds. The first two were very common, and the third one is very good, but very expensive. After I saw it, I really liked this third pair of headphones. I really wanted to request this third one. And at that time, I know that apart from the computers that you could sign up for, you have to return it. But headphones, these accessories, it will charge the department money, and then basically they gift it to you for you to use it. In my heart, I had no peace. When I sent that request, I sent it many times, but every time I requested it, I had no peace in my heart. I had this voice in me that says, in your work, you don't really have to use such a good pair of headphones. But then I just kept reasoning away in myself to say, I requested it. This is for work. And then sometimes for my personal use, shouldn't be a problem, but I struggled a lot. I struggled for about 2 weeks. And in my heart, I had no peace to go and request it. But at that time, I didn't give it up either. And every day when I went to work, I still look at it. And then in that organization, I would go and search to see who had requested it. And then I realized some high managers, whether or not it was high managers. But then I realized it was just common employees. And in my heart, I really wanted to even more so. And that day, I wanted to say something to my manager. So that day, I had a reason to be able to go request for this pair of headphones. And so, I was looking at the software, my manager was out of office. He was not at work. It was a Friday. So I had to wait through the weekend. And in my heart, I was clear that the Lord was not pleased for me to take advantage of such a situation. And so the next week, I decided not to struggle, that I was going to request the common headphones. And then we were going to have a summer conference here the day before that set of headphones came. It was $30. In my heart, I was very happy in my heart because I said, this is very cheap. I could use it with peace in my heart. And then the day before, my manager came to look for me and said, then he wanted to give me a little bit of work. Even though it's just a little bit, I thought to myself, you really wanted the headphones, I gave you the money so you could go buy it. And this is some of my experience. Next, I'm going to ask Sister Sensen. This is also something that happened last month. One day I drove out and on a small road, I was waiting at a light. The car behind me didn't see me and ran into me. At that time, my first reaction was very happy because my rear bumper previously, it had been hit. So there was an old problem. It was from 2 years ago. It was not my responsibility either. But that day, even though I was not clear-minded, because there was no big issue, we drove away. But then I thought, should I go and get this fixed? And in my heart, I thought, well, I don't need to. So I didn't. But last month, when I got hit, I was very happy because I thought, oh, this is the responsibility of the person who hit me. So now I could get it fixed, especially the problem from before. So the Lord said, see these small things, I did not lose out. And in my heart, I had this thought, is it truly like this? At first, I really hoped that the Lord would allow me to get this done. And very quickly, to have the opposing party's insurance company take care of it. And so when they connected with that driver and that insurance, they said they accepted full responsibility for it. And in my heart, I said, okay, this is very sure. But then the next day, the insurance company called me again and said, we have another question. In your car, did you have any previous damage to it? And I said, yes. The bumper had already been hit before. After I hung up, within my heart, I felt rebuked by the Lord. He asked me and says, why did you have such a desire and hope? Previously, I really wanted to give this testimony that the Lord was not shamed. But because of this matter, it should not be completely upon the person who hit me. And so I said to the Lord, Lord, okay, I have coverage, then that's great. If not, it's okay. I accept it. I want to be honest in my heart. And then I sent my car to be fixed at the garage. And then we walked through with the employees. And because we had received all the paperwork from the insurance, they told me I could go home. After a few days, they gave me an estimate as to what needed repairs. And yes, it included the bumper. When I saw the estimate, the Lord reminded me again, saying, you need to go and clarify the situation about the previous damage. And I felt this was a very clear voice. I needed to go and to go now. So I went to call again to clarify that there was a previous damage on the bumper, not from this second accident. And this damage needed the bumper to be repaired. And so they said, yes, thank you for telling us. And so at that time, I really had true peace. And I thank the Lord. And through this matter, the previous damage was also fixed. So I just want to share this. Now, Brother Sun also said that myself, Brother Andrew, I need to share something from my daily life first. Something was last week, and another thing was from many years ago. Last Friday, this is more of a story of my wife. I went to Aldi's to go grocery shopping, and after coming out, we have for a long time not looked at the receipt, but when we looked at it, we bought this peach, but they counted it as grapes, and grapes are cheaper. And to me, I've learned this lesson many years ago, and I said, well, let's just go back and take care of it very quickly. It should not be a hassle since it needs to be taken care of. My wife, after she came out, she says, Aldi's has no customer service. That's number one. Number two, the lines is very long. You have to go and get back in line again because actually calculating it, it's only 70 cents difference. And since because of COVID, nobody's wearing masks. And we were in a hurry to go back because we had a meeting in the evening. So in the car, we said, do we have to hold on to this law? Do we have to hold fast to this law that you need to go back and pay these 70 cents? In the car, we says, no, of course we need to. We don't want to hold fast to the law. So we drove home. And then at night, we had our meeting. After the meeting, my wife said, I found the receipt. Because if I can't find the receipt now, it doesn't matter. Because of this pandemic, our receipts are just everywhere. But since if you find the receipt, then we'll talk about it. But then we really found it. So she said at night she couldn't sleep well. So the next morning when she got up, okay, we'll go return it and then we'll get the price adjusted. It's not terribly close, but we still had to drive a distance away. We drove there just to adjust this 70 cents, 72 cents. It took care of this issue. And then we had peace. And then true peace came back. It was a small matter in our life. But then another sharing, something that happened to me many years ago, because I can think of many, many. But one thing, one time, I was driving at University of Minnesota and an American student ran into me, hit my car. I saw he was young. I got his phone number and I saw that he was young. I didn't think of immediately contacting the insurance. I just got his phone number. But then the next day, the mother of the child says, "We don't want you to file a claim. Can we just give you cash?" I said, "Sure, I'll go to the body shop. I'll get an estimate and then you can give the money to me." So I took the car to the garage and I got an estimate and I gave that money amount to the mother. And I don't remember whether the mother gave it to me in person or mailed it to me. When I got the money, I put it in the bank. And for myself, I knew somebody who worked at a body shop. This was a teacher in this area. I always find the same person to fix. So I took it to him. I said, "Can you fix it for me?" Compared to the body shop, this person was much, much cheaper. And so he fixed it. And after I got home, I was very happy because I earned a bound of money. Because that check that I got previously was more than what I actually spent to fix the car. I was happy, but not for long. Inside of me, there was this voice that said, "Do you love me or love money? Are you greedy for money?" And not only so, you've also deceived that mother. The body shop gave me an official estimate. And this person that really fixed didn't give me an estimate. There's no receipt to it, but the Lord knew. And I knew. I knew it was cheaper by several hundred dollars. So I said, "Now what do I do? I don't know that family. Didn't this matter already pass?" I really struggled for a few days, but then I couldn't go on. I really couldn't go on. So I could only, because I don't have their address, how can I go back and find this mother and child? So I called on the phone and said, "I am that person. About a month ago, you paid me because of the car accident of your son. But actually, I found a cheaper auto body shop and I decided to give the remaining money back to you. Please give me your home address. I will write you a check." And that mother said, she was stunned. She said, "Thank you. I must tell this matter to my son." And then she hung up. And then I gave the money. I mailed it to her. And I had peace in my heart. This is what my sharing. Brother Ray, are you prepared? Brother's son asked me this morning. Previously, I had some lessons. I have a journal so that I can record down the lessons of following the teaching of the anointing. Whether it's good or bad, I'll just read. On January 30th, at the beginning of the year, some of my experience, this was something in my daily life. As Christians, I was saved in 1984. I have already believed in the Lord for 31 years. As an old Christian, sometimes there's this danger that we are slow in our sense of life and in small things in our daily life. I asked the Lord that I would be more detailed and pay attention to his still small voice. This is my writing in my journal. So something that happened on the 29th, but I wrote it on the 30th. The Holy Spirit was teaching me, my wife, because Friday night, we didn't have time to cook. She said, let's go to the store. So we could, because we were getting ready for the meeting, we didn't have time. Because we lived on the mountain, there's this Bar Fresh. It's a very close by. It's very near. We're going to drive down to get there. Number one, she didn't follow the leading of the GPS. Just according to her memory, she went. In the Northwest at night, it's very dark. It's very wet. And she got lost. Where did she get lost to? She went all the way to Beaverton, to another Bar Fresh. And she called me. She said, I got lost. What do I do? She asked me, can we do this? Don't buy anything because we had ordered it, but don't go there. Here at this Bar Fresh, I will purchase my food. But I was very busy. But I all of a sudden, there was a sound inside of me telling me, this ball matter, you need to be faithful. If you don't go, even though you haven't paid that food, they will lose their money. And so in my heart, it's not my personality. I'm very casual and whatever. But that day, the Holy Spirit was dealing with my personality to teach me. So I said, no. I said to my wife, no, still go back to the original restaurant to bring back that which we had originally purposed. So then I had to take time because her GPS had broken at night. It was very dark. We live on the mountain, and to come down to go to the other place, I was worried for her safety. And so I had to go find her, and I had to bring her to where she needed to go. I thank the Lord. And even in the darkness, she got to the right place. She was late for an hour before we could eat dinner. But I thank the Lord. In this matter, yes, obedience can bring the teaching of the anointing. And in the teaching of the anointing, often is opposite of my personality. I'm very casual. I'm very sloppy. Oftentimes, in many things, I'm so casual. And not only has it caused loss to myself, but also loss to the church. This is my personality. But regarding the teaching of the anointing, oftentimes it brings lessons of the cross. You have to say no to your own personality, your own character, and say no to that. This is my sharing, Brother Sun. Thank you. I don't know if I've asked anyone else, brothers and sisters. Is Brother Hongzong here? Brother Hongzong says, I was speaking, but nobody could hear. So our brother will now share. I'm going to share it in English.
very messy kitchen after big meal, and I was about to complain again.
We have heard the meaning of our brother's story, and we understand what he's saying. We thank the Lord. For the sake of time, I cannot give time for more brothers and sisters, but next time we will still have an opportunity. So in your heart, you have been moved by the Lord and you want to testify. Do also obey and submit and tell some of the responsible brothers, and they could relay the message either by phone or email, and just let Brother Jian Hui know, and then we can arrange that brothers and sisters will share. So brothers and sisters, you hear it. These are some of the daily small matters of life, but they are so important. And so we say before that the issue themselves, they may be very small, but behind it, the obedience is a great matter. So brothers and sisters, before the Lord, may we all learn some of these lessons. Just like Brother Ray, he wrote it down in a book. That's good. If you begin to write things down, you will realize there's many of them regarding following the teaching of the anointing. I have some more words that I want to share with brothers and sisters. But before I share, first, I just want to remind everyone that as this time before the Lord, as we pursue together, we have a goal, we have a purpose. And what is this purpose? Don't forget it. And that we are using Paul's words in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. These words at the end, simply put, is that I want Christ Jesus to lay hold of more of me. So as we pursue this time, we want to pursue to such a point where the Lord may gain more of us. So brothers and sisters, do you know that in these end days, in the Lord's heart, he so desperately desires to do this. Throughout the ages, He has gained some people. And these people, because they have been gained by him, so the Lord could use them to do the work that he wants to do. So brothers and sisters, here, I want to again use Paul's experience to have a little bit of exhortation. We know that Paul, at the very beginning of his salvation, there were two characters, two people who had a deep impact on him. Brothers and sisters, when you read the book of Acts, you will know these two people, who they are. Do you know who they are? First one is Stephen. Another person, who's that? Ananias. These two people in Paul's early days of being a Christian left a very deep impression on him. Not only did it leave a deep impression, but it also impacted his life before the Lord and service. So brothers and sisters, we know that these two people, they have some common characteristics. Some common characteristics. We know Stephen's story, right? Previously, he was taken to go and take care of the food, serving of food, but because he was filled with faith, filled with the Holy Spirit. And so in Acts chapter 7, he preached this great message and then he was martyred. And we know this was the condition of Stephen. And in Acts chapter 6 and 7, we can read that. And then this Ananias in Acts chapter 9. This was another person, a brother that the Lord used when Paul was saved. These two people, their common characteristics are that their relationship with the Lord was very close. They truly lived before the Lord. That between them and the Lord, they had beautiful fellowship. Additionally, in their characteristics, is that the Lord at any time was able to use them. Since the Lord had used Stephen to preach this very important message, it impacted all of church history. In God's heart, in his will, in his great work, Stephen had a very deep impact upon it. Because he had a very intimate relationship with the Lord. In that very difficult time, he became a useful vessel in the Lord's time to meet the condition and the need of the time. Our brother was martyred for the Lord, and he left behind a wonderful testimony and example. And in this beautiful testimony and example also deeply impacted Paul's ministry. On the other hand, we see not only was the Lord able to use him at any time, like Ananias, because in his story, there wasn't any other recording of his life, but all of a sudden from Damascus, there was this brother who came. And when he came in the Lord's vision, when the Lord said to him, Ananias, he responded with wonderful words. He said, Lord, here I am. From this small story, we see that he is a person who lived before the Lord. At any time, the Lord could use him. And so today, the Lord is still searching for vessels that he can use. Like in our families, we have many, many tools. At any time, you just reach for a vessel, a bowl, a cup, and when you need to do something, you just pick it up. And it's very convenient for you to use it. If you lack these utensils and tools, oftentimes when you want to do something, it's very inconvenient. But these people, at any time, they could be used by the Lord. Another common characteristic among them is that when the Lord used them, it was very convenient for the Lord to use them. When the Lord used Stephen, to rebuke the people of Israel in that message. It allowed him to be martyred. However, in church history, it began a period of time that had great impact, in which God's work was able to be spread out. And so God could use him. It was so convenient for the Lord to use him. Our brother very naturally served the Lord. However the Lord led him, he just went and he obeyed the leading of the Lord. And it was very convenient for the Lord to use him. It was the same for Ananias. When the Lord went to Damascus, and the Lord said, Ananias, and Ananias responded and said, here I am. This is so wonderful. In any city that you are in, sometimes the Lord wants to do something, and he can't find a useful vessel, and the Lord cannot do anything. Sometimes the Lord is calling for you and you ignore him. We're not like Ananias. And so, brothers and sisters, these two people, because they had a very intimate daily life with the Lord, at any moment in time, they were standing before the Lord. It tells us that they were people who were gained by the Lord. They were practically every day gained by the Lord. And so today, we pray that the Lord would give us this desire and this love in our depths, that in this age, in this generation, we will be a person who is gained by the Lord in our intimate relationship with the Lord. At any point in time when the Lord commands us, we can all be like Ananias and say, here I am, Lord. Additionally, just like how the Lord used Ananias and Stephen, it was very convenient for him to use them. Because when one person uses another person, for it to be convenient, it's kind of difficult, because we all have our characters, we all have our personalities, our own interests. Our self is so strong. Sometimes when the Lord wants to use us, it's very inconvenient for him. I don't know whether it's convenient for him to use you. For me, in these many years, I realized I'm not very convenient for the Lord. In the Old Testament time, there are many of such examples. For example, Jacob, like Jonah, the Lord wanted to use him, but had to chase him because Jonah was running away. God had to use this way and that way. And so, do you know, today, if the Lord wants to use us, for him to use us is his glory. But for us to truly be used, whether it's convenient or not, it depends on how much the Lord has gained a hold of us. And so we hope that this time before the Lord, that together we will have this desire, not just memorize a lot of scripture and heard many preaching and done a lot of work, but more importantly, as a person, we want the Lord to gain us. We do pray that Paul's desire in Philippians 3 would also be our desire. And this would also be our corporate goal. Because I feel that the time is so desperate and so close, because everywhere the Lord wants to gain vessels. But even though there are many, many Christians who are saved by grace, but the number of people that the Lord can use are few. And so we need to be considerate of the Lord's heart. May our desire not only be so that we could come to know Christ more and come to understand his word more and be familiar with God's word, but to have him gain a hold of us more and more. We pray that the Lord would put this desire into us. So regarding the goal of our pursuit and the purpose with this opportunity today, I do want to encourage brothers and sisters and mutually encourage us. Now today, my main burden is still regarding this life of following the anointing. Now, I have said at the beginning, if we want the Lord to gain more of us, I said at the beginning, we're pursuing after these four different lines, four ways. First, we want to have good spiritual daily habits. We need to be familiar with the Bible. We want to follow the teaching of the anointing. And in these four different ways, in following the teaching of the anointing, brothers and sisters, you can say it is pivotal in following the Lord. It's extremely critical. It's pivotal in it. We know that the Spirit of God is within us. The Holy Spirit is working inside of us. You will see that today, brothers and sisters, there are many Christians, they're also pursuing after experiences of the Holy Spirit. But in this pursuit, we often have a very inaccurate idea. We want special experiences. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to be full of joy, be full of freedom and release. Many brothers and sisters in the past, in their spiritual life, every day they are pursuing after these strong stimulations. And when they gather together, it's the same. There are some charismatic brothers and sisters in their gatherings. It's a very excited atmosphere. They sing, they pray. It's very loud and noisy. But after the meeting passes and they come home, everybody returns back to their normal everyday life. And they just wait for the next gathering so that they can have this excitement. Brothers and sisters, it's not to say that that is wrong, but it's not normal. The requirement of a spiritual life is not just an extraordinary special experience, but it's continually being in the Lord. So that in our daily life, at every single aspect of it, we can experience him. I have often said with brothers and sisters, when you share about the teaching of the anointing, the matter is very small. It doesn't matter how small it is. The main important thing is that the Holy Spirit is leading you and that you obey him. And so in all the small details of our lives, we can experience him. And he will be your satisfaction and we can express his glory. This is following the experience of the Holy Spirit. This is a more accurate condition. And so, brothers and sisters, this not only has to do with our individual salvation, but it has to do with our meeting life, being saved in our meeting life. If in every day in your daily life, because it's full of the anointing, then when you gather, everyone's bringing the anointing. Then this meeting is full of the anointing. Why is it that sometimes when you come to a gathering, you feel that it's so dry? It's so common and shallow and flavorless because very few people have brought in the anointing. Out of 100 some people, only 8 to 10 people have you brought in the anointing. It's not enough. If every single person brings in the anointing, excuse me, then the meeting will be full of anointing. It will be different. Last time I also have said the degree of how much you have been gained by the Lord has to do with how much you have been filled with the anointing. If indeed every single day you are being led by the anointing, then it shows that you have been gained by the Lord. It doesn't matter whether you have gone to church on Sunday and that every day you have a prayer life. It doesn't mean that you have a spiritual life. If the Lord has really gained you, then, and you are full of the anointing, then we see how important it is to have the anointing. To such a point, I want to say again, to such a point, that when you really follow the teaching of the anointing, it will change your life habits. He can also change our church gathering habits as well. This anointing is the greatest power for change. Oftentimes, for church life, we become anxious for it and worried for it. Why are we anxious about our own lives? We want to change ourselves. We want to change other people. We want to change this and that, and we cannot. Other people cannot change either, and we just simply get anxious. Why is our gathering always like this? Brothers and sisters are so dissatisfied in our gatherings. We use this method and that method. Today, the church on earth is like this everywhere. Many preachers, forgive me for saying some of the leaders in church, at home, oftentimes for the meetings, we get so anxious for it. We want to change. And so we have these ideas and these thoughts, how this meeting should be more lively, how everybody to be more excited. You think up so many methods. Today, if you go into Christianity, you can see there's hundreds of ways and methods. Some people, it seems as if they have a sense of the Lord, but gradually they don't anymore. Brothers and sisters, we are not to use outward ways. If everybody can follow the teaching of the anointing, then individually your spiritual life will be changed. Your habits will be changed. If everybody in the gathering follow the anointing, our church habits will also change. This is a very important thing. So here, brothers and sisters, I don't know what your feeling is recently. For me, this is a very heavy burden because I have said many times, brothers and sisters, since my youth, the Lord has led us to learn this lesson. When I was young, I had many, many such clear experiences. It was very clear. I feel at that time, it set some roots for me and foundations. And later on, as I grew upon these foundations, I feel that the Lord has really given me such grace. Today, as I look in the church and I see in the meetings, it's not that all brothers and sisters follow the anointing. And in our meetings, in our gatherings, the anointing is not as abundant. It causes us to be dissatisfied, discontent with the meeting, even though we gather. But in our hearts, we're not content. We're not satisfied. In this discontent, it doesn't mean that it's wrong. Brother Tiasa Sparks used a very special phrase to describe it. He calls this holy dissatisfaction or holy discontent. This is a very good phrase because you're not content with the meeting and you're not content with your own spiritual condition. This is an action or power or strength behind us to move us. So how can we solve this problem? We know that in John's latter years, he teaches us to follow the teaching of the anointing. It's so important. If you follow the anointing, it can bring about the results of life. In your individual life, your life will change. Your church meeting life will change. I have said many times that today, the church on earth, this has become a truth that has been lost. It's as if there's not many gatherings. Pay attention to this. When we have these special conferences, many churches will say, oh, how can we talk about marriage life, family life, parent and children relationship? How are we to have good relationships? There's so many of these topics, but how many people truly teach us that we are to follow the anointing? Brothers and sisters, this is a truth that has been lost. May he show us mercy. That every brother and sister in our daily life, may this be recovered. From the individual, may it be recovered from us. Then this is the true solution to the problem. It can solve our individual problems as well as the problems within the corporate body. And so these most basic and foundational experiences, we cannot lose them. And so here, I want to mutually encourage brothers and sisters. Now, continuing on, I want to talk about how are we to have a church life that is full of the anointing. So let's turn to scripture. Let's all read a passage. This is in Exodus. Exodus chapter 30. Exodus 30. Let's read verse 22 on 22. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take also for yourself the finest of spices, of flowing myrrh, 500 shekels, and of fragrant cinnamon, half as much, 250, and of fragrant cane, 250, and of cassia, 500, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil, a hin. You shall make of these a holy anointing oil, a perfume mixture, the work of a perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tent of meeting and the ark of the testimony and the table and all its utensils and the lampstand and its utensils and the altar of incense and the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils and the laver and its stand. You shall also consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them shall be holy. You shall anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister as priests to me. You shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on anyone's body, nor shall you make any like it in the same proportions. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever shall mix any like it, or whoever puts any of it on a layman, shall be cut off from his people. Now let's go back, brothers and sisters. Particularly pay attention. Verse 26 through 28. Let me read it again. With it you shall anoint the tent of meeting and the ark of the testimony and the table and all its utensils and the lampstand and its utensils and the altar of incense and the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils and the laver and its stand. In verse 29, you shall also consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them shall be holy. In the Old Testament, the Lord, through Moses, commanded the people of Israel that in the service of the tabernacle, this is a very important matter. They needed to make this anointing oil, this perfume. In the New Testament, we know that when the apostles speak of the anointing, this is where it comes from. In this passage, brothers and sisters, it is very, very important. Here it tells us that this holy anointing oil, it needs to anoint all of the tent of meeting. The entire tent of meeting needed to be anointed with this oil. Now we know that the tent of meeting, it speaks of our church life today. It is a very important symbol or illustration that tells us that in church life, it needs to be full of the anointing. So only beneath this abundant anointing, then you will not be influenced by other things. In the Old Testament, yes, there is a particular image and form. Every utensil has its own likeness, own form. There is a particular form as to how you do things. But these utensils and furniture, as soon as it is anointed by this oil, it is different. Brothers and sisters, this is very important. This tells us that because of the anointing oil, now you are not influenced by the method. We know that in every single gathering, you will have a particular method. You have your own habits. If you follow the anointing, then the habits and method won't impact you. It might be good. It could help you. But oftentimes, it can also be a limitation for you. Not only so, you will not be limited by the outward method, but the The vessel can also express the true reality of its function. All of the priests we know need to be anointed too. Today, I'm just going to place that aside. I'm not going to talk about that. The meaning, very simply, is that all those who serve the Lord need to be anointed. That means as a person, you are alive. It is very important. Later on, if we have opportunity, we'll talk more on these aspects. But today, we live in a time where there's so much death. And the church is also beneath the atmosphere of death to such a point where we have no breath of life. At this time, this is very, very important. As those who serve the Lord, we need to be alive. As a person, how do you live? You live beneath the teaching of the anointing. Not only do you know in your heart, but I'm not going to talk just about that today, later on if we have time. But right now, our focus is upon our church life. Now here, first off, it tells us that this anointing oil, it covers all of the tent of meeting. We know the tent of meeting represents the church. And today, when we come before the Lord to gather, it's not just for, we don't pray just for a few people. We thank the Lord. And I do thank brothers and sisters in these years because I have had many opportunities to preach. Many brothers and sisters pray desperately for me. Lord, do anoint our brother to richly anoint, pour upon him so that my entire body, I'm so covered with oil. I thank the Lord. I really need it. I thank the Lord. I really need the oil. But don't forget, but in service, in ministry, it's not me, myself, that I need the oil. The Bible tells us that the entire tent of meeting needs the oil. All brothers and sisters need to be anointed. So next time, don't just pray for the brother who speaks. Pray for yourself. You yourself need to have the anointing. When you pray, he's full of anointing, but you have no anointing. Then this meeting has lost its meaning for you. Brothers and sisters, pray so that every person has anointing. The ushers, the pianist, the meeting leader, the preacher, the translator, all have the anointing. Even those who are sitting there listening are full of the anointing and full of the oil. We need to have such a thought. Now, why does the anointing oil need to be upon all these things? Because the Lord wants the function of every item to be alive. Now let's take a look at the things within the tent of meeting. It represents the spiritual truths. First, there is the table or the surrounding area. There's the tent of meeting, which has different blanket layers, particularly the surrounding fence. What does it tell us? It tells us there's a testimony of distinction. There's a distinction between us and everything outside. Later, Nehemiah, just like when he built up the wall of Jerusalem, because there's this wall, there's a boundary line between that which is outside versus inside. That which is outside should not enter in. Brothers and sisters, we need to have that outer fence. This fence is very important. This fence, it blocks out the things that should not come into God's house. But today we take a look at the condition of the church. On this matter, it has received much attack of the enemy. The things of the world has entered into the church in great lengths. The name and the position of the world, the filth of this world has also entered into the church. No wonder the condition of the church is so weak. So today, in the Old Testament, it tells us that there is a fence of the tent of meeting. This fence is a wall of distinction. It separates that which is holy. Today, we know that in church ministry, in order to block the incorrect conditions to come into the church, it is very hard. Many people, they come into the church, forgive me for saying, some people come in to do business in the church. They do not come here to gather. They come here to do business. There are some who are realtors. They come into the meeting. They want to find people to be their customers. Some people are trying to sell their products. Some people come to find a friend, to socialize. Brothers and sisters, we know that in order to watch over the holiness and purity of a meeting is difficult. Some gatherings, they have many rules. We know that there is a brother who's very, very, like the brethren movement. They say, if you say you are Christian, he will not let you come and break bread because their fence is very, very strict. Why? They do not want to accept that which is wrong. They do not want to allow those who have not been born again to come and break bread with them. Now, what does the Bible tell us? That this fence needs the anointing oil on it. Today, you follow the anointing to take care of these matters. It is a living matter. You do not use dead rules to enforce. Brothers and sisters, this is very, very important. Today, we know that the schemes of the enemy is very terrible. And of course, they're very openly wrong things that we could leave outside. But brothers and sisters, I do feel that in church service, natural human emotions, this matter is something that we also need to pay attention to, leave out. You need to follow the anointing. Many times, because we are so considerate of other people's feelings, we accept the things that we ought not to accept because of our human emotions, because of our relationships. And so you cannot reject it. So brothers and sisters, the degree of this anointing is different. Particularly those who have served the Lord for a long time. This matter can cause us easily to make mistakes. So no matter how many years you have been saved, follow the anointing. So as you take care of these church matters, you need to have the anointing. It's not because you have the feeling of justice and righteousness within you and that you make the final decision. No. This fence needs to be covered in the anointing oil. The church testimony needs to be holy. So brothers and sisters, this is a very practical matter. Next, as you come into the tent of meeting, you will find the altar. It's very easy to see the altar. Now today, towards this altar, we're all very clear that it talks about the life of consecration, of sacrifice, and of the cross. But in Romans chapter 12, Paul tells us that what sacrifice do we give? We give a living sacrifice. Why is it living? It is because there's the anointing oil on it. Without the anointing oil, brothers and sisters, even when we talk about the word of the cross without the anointing, perhaps it is just a dead doctrine. When we talk about consecration, we talk to such a point, perhaps people are so zealous and so moved to the point of tears. But brothers and sisters, if there's no anointing, then that consecration before the Lord has no value. And so the Bible tells us, this altar needs to be anointed. It also needs anointing oil. Do you understand, brothers and sisters? All of these truths, without the anointing oil, it's just a dead doctrine. Only once the anointing oil covers it, then it's alive. So brothers and sisters, when we talk about the experience of the cross, It also needs to be full of the anointing. No wonder in the past, among brothers and sisters, we have made this mistake. Forgive me for saying that even within our fellowship, when we talk about the cross, more of us talk about the cross, particularly the elder ones. We talk about the way of the cross. Now in China, they love to talk about the doctrine of the cross. They talk about the way of the cross. When they talk about the cross, it is very welcome. But you've talked about the doctrine of the cross, but it has not resulted in many spiritual people. Forgive me for saying this. Brother Watchman Nee, at that time in China, when he talked about the way of the cross, he talked about it the most. It was so abundant. And that generation, yes, they bore the cross. But later on, among us, what remained after several decades, there was this huge discrepancy. According to simple logic, you've talked about it for many decades. You should have many spiritual people, right? But there weren't. I have asked an elderly brother before. He also didn't know how to respond to me. There were no spiritual people. What does it tell us? Was it because the way was wrong? Was the altar wrong? No, brothers and sisters. I understand now. It lacked the anointing. Without the anointing oil, you can talk about the doctrine so that it's so clear and so high, but it's of no use. It doesn't work. Often we say it just doesn't work. You talk about this so much, but it doesn't work. So brothers and sisters, the altar needs to have the anointing oil. This altar is very important, right? Because morning and night, you need to sacrifice on it. This is our life of consecration. Our life of consecration needs anointing oil. Without it, how can you consecrate yourself? It will be full of suffering. And then you'll go on. You will see the laver, that wash basin laver. This is where the priests wash their hands and feet, a place of cleansing. It tells us that it is a place of sanctification, a life of purification and sanctification. Brothers and sisters, in the church, our hands and feet need to be clean. Today, sadly, in the church, many people who serve the Lord, their hands and feet are not clean. They have not washed their hands and feet. Brothers and sisters, we have touched God's work with filthy hands, unclean hands. No wonder his work has suffered loss. However, the laver, the wash basin, needs to be anointed with this anointing oil. And so if you want to live a life of sanctification, it needs to be anointed. It's not that you have set your will. You say you restrain yourself and have self-control. Then it is of no use. You need to understand this revelation from the Bible. And so today we need God's grace that in our Christian life, we need to allow the Holy Spirit in us to reveal to us that we need the whole anointing, Holy Spirit, to lead us, to show us that which is clear and unclean, that which is filthy, dirty, and that which is clean, so that we can have clean hands and a pure heart to serve our Lord. And in this way, the church can bring blessing. Today we know that in church life, because there's hidden many dark things, these things, if we cannot discern them clearly, then the condition of the church will not be blessed. Now we come to the holy place. You will see there, there is a table of showbread. We know that this is the provision of God's word. The table of showbread, this bread is made by the priests. However, this table itself also needs to have the anointing oil on it. It tells us that yes, indeed, we have the service of God's word, but this word needs to be the living word. It is the living word. You're not talking about dead doctrine. Today, many people they do not follow the anointing, and you just go and preach to such a point you have nothing else to say. And then you bring in the news of the world and church history and history of the world, and you bring that into the pulpit in order to fill the time. And you bring philosophy and science and all these things. You brought it into the church. This can only satisfy man's soul. You cannot touch man's heart. And so the condition of the church will go down. And so, brothers and sisters, we know that God's words is precious. God has given us his word, scripture. It is God's word. However, God's word needs to be anointed with the oil for it to shine, for it to give life. I often say and feel that some brothers and sisters, when we fellowship, we find some verses in scripture and we want to use God's words because we think it's good. I don't want to use my own words. Use God's words, right? And so when you go and visit others, do you have this experience? You seek after the Lord, you find some scripture, and then you want to read that to the person. This is God's words, read it to them. But then after you read it to them, there's no result. Right? Why? It did not shine light. So I use this to describe it. God's words, every word is like a light bulb. It's like a light bulb. But the light bulb needs to be connected to electricity for it to shine. You go to another person's house to visit them. You've brought them a lot of light bulbs. And all those light bulbs are sitting there, but it's of no use. They don't give off any light. We think that that's good. Today, many Christians today, particularly many preachers, they make the same mistake. In the past, brothers have given us this example. Like Sister Wong, a very close co-worker of Brother Ni, she really followed the anointing. One time, together with a brother, they went to Sandong to visit a sick brother. His whole person was jaundiced and yellow. So they used the words of Isaiah, "Because of his stripes, you have been healed." And as soon as they prayed, immediately our brother's condition changed and he was healed. And so today we know many brothers and sisters say this word is good. So whoever is sick, let's use the same word and say, "Because of his stripes, you are healed." But then it doesn't work. Why? You have brought the light bulb, but there's no electricity. It's not connected to electricity. It doesn't shine. Brothers and sisters, do you understand? This is a very shallow illustration. So later on, no matter you fellowship or you share, you do visitation and you want to use God's words, first you need to follow the anointing. When I was young, brothers and sisters, the Lord led me. I learned this lesson. I served him. Every time I had to visit somebody, I brought 2 watermelons and 2 apples because it was in love and I wanted to care. No, brothers and sisters, first I pray. I pray, I ask, Lord, please, first, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Anoint me so that it's overflowing with your oil. Lead me to which passages in your words that I ought to share with my brother. And then I would pray this. Not only would I pray this, then all along the way, as I sing, I say, Lord, but I am your vessel. I am but your vessel. May I have living waters flow through me as I sing. Then my heart is prepared. Then when you go visit somebody to go help someone, it's not that you use your natural human emotions to try to encourage them. Today, many brothers and sisters, we go to another person's house because the spouses are fighting and we just say, oh, don't fight. Just compromise. Take a leap. You need to submit yourself beneath the Lord and learn the lesson of the cross. You give them many doctrines. You bring out the Bible and scripture. They're all just light bulbs, but they don't shine. They're no use to them. Brothers and sisters, I remember for the young ones, let me give you the most shallow illustration. Remember this. When you go out to serve, bring a light bulb that will shine. Pray, Lord, God's words I want to have your anointing on it, then my light bulbs will shine. This is the living word. This is the bread that will be a provision to other people. So on God's table of showbread, it also needs anointing oil upon it. It is very important. So in this, in our practical everyday life and service, these are things that we can use. I really thank and praise my Lord. From my youth, when I began to read the Bible, after the Lord called me to serve, to preach his word, I know that without his anointing, then I cannot live until today. Because preaching will give you so much pressure to the point of death. When brothers who have the experience of preaching, because in such dryness, you have no inspiration. You have the pulpit in front of you. There is so much stress. When I was young, before the Lord, I did not learn my lessons well. And at that time when I served, this pulpit, the message meeting, became a huge mountain pressing on my head. From Monday on, I started to have a life of suffering. I struggled so much because on Monday, I started to think about how I had to preach on Sunday. I said, Lord, give me inspiration. When I prayed, I prayed when I ate, when I walked, I had no inspiration. And I was so full of suffering. And time passed by so fast. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It came so fast. So many times the Lord was training me. Saturday, still, I had no inspiration. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? Brothers and sisters, everybody's going to sit there and say, we want to hear Brother Sun preach. I have no inspiration whatsoever. I would get so anxious and I would go pull out some commentaries. I would read other people's messages. But oddly, the things that I read that moved me in the past now did not move me at all. It was of no use. Those commentaries, they also were so dry. I was so anxious and so worried. I could not sleep for many nights. Several times, brothers and sisters, the Lord was really training me how to follow the anointing. Sunday morning, I still had no inspiration. I said, Lord, today I'm going to die. I said, okay, fine. Since I am of such a dumb tongue, you want me to preach for you. If I have no inspiration, then what I'm going to do? If I perish, I perish. Today when I stand up, I have no word to say. I have no word to say. Brothers and sisters, oftentimes to the very last moment, all of a sudden the inspiration came. That morning, just following that inspiration, I released his word. Now, I cannot say it was so wonderful, but really, it was something that was alive. That day after preaching, I was so happy. After the meeting ended, all of my burden was released. I was only happy for half a day. And then Monday, I started to get anxious again. What am I going to do next week? Brothers and sisters, do you know that in the church, to have living word, to serve the Lord, it needs training. You need to learn. So it's not according to your intellect, because I have much knowledge. I've read many books. So this passage, that passage, I can piece it together so that it could be a beautiful story. In the past, it's what I used to do when I prepared a message. I found a topic and then several passages, and then I would piece together a message and add several stories that are very moving. And better these stories, that when people cry, the better it is. If people have wept, then today I feel like I've been very successful. I find some storybooks and I flip through them and find two stories that really move people. I tell some two stories here, and then after a period of time, I'll tell another story, and at the conclusion, have another concluding story. This is how I used to prepare for the message. It seems as if it was effective. Many people would weep and cry. And then I came down and I felt pretty satisfied in myself. But on the surface level, I had to be very humble. But in my heart, I was very satisfied. Like I was successful. Brothers and sisters, I was completely wrong. Living word needs to be word of the anointing. So in these years, brothers and sisters, I have gone through many, many decades now. Even though my lessons have not been learned well, but I know that without the anointing, I cannot speak. Only when there's an anointing upon me, then can it be for him. With his anointing, it can cause his words to be living, to be holy, and it can be a provision, satisfy the needs of others. So the table of showbread, that table needs to be anointed. On one hand, I do ask brothers and sisters, yes, do pray for the brothers who speak. The prayers support those who speak. Without the anointing, we need to pray to such a point that they are overflowing with the anointing oil. Then that message will not be because he preached successfully, but because your prayer was successful. In service, we need to follow the anointing. Forgive me. I need to go on quickly. And then the lampstand. The lampstand is also a testimony of light. In the tent of meeting, this is the only source of light. Brothers and sisters, in this light, it is a light that comes from the oil. We know that these lampstands, it has a basin that has, in the center of it, it has oil. And then there is a wick. If there is no oil where the wick is sitting in, then of course it will be extinguished. So it tells us today, the church, for it to be a testimony of light, it needs to have the anointing oil in it. This has to do, that is entirely different from all the works of religion. Today, we are not here organizing a religious organization. For our church to bear light and bear testimony for the Lord, without the anointing oil, it is impossible. And so in the past, we have said in the book of Revelation, at the very beginning, when we see the seven churches, these are seven golden lampstands. Why? Because in Revelation, as we enter into the very end, the darkest times, the church is to bear light. Brothers and sisters, the church needs to bear light, shine light. If you do not express light, how can you bear testimony for the Lord? Without light, you shame the Lord. You fall short. And without light, and with light, it needs to have oil. Every brother and sister needs to follow the oil so that the church is full of oil, so that in the lampstand, it would be full of light. Many churches in the past, that light, it is to the point where it is just smoking. When a lamp that has oil, if it has no oil, it will be just a smoke. So if there's smoke, you go in, you cannot breathe. Here, there are some people, they say, in this gathering, I cannot breathe. Why? Because that oil lamp has no more oil. It is only smoking. So you need to have plenty of oil to have light. Brothers and sisters, I'm not telling you a joke. This is a very practical, a real experience in our lives. Now, because of time, I need to go on. And then there's another thing called the incense. Altar of incense. That talks about the prayers of the saints, the prayers of the church. Now, if we want our prayers to be effective, then the altar of incense needs to be anointed with oil. Without the anointing oil, then the prayers of the church will have no result. And so this prayer does not matter whether your prayer is very loud, very soft, whether it's exciting or not. In the past, we did not understand. We thought this prayer meeting is so dull and dry. We need it to be more exciting. We need to pray loudly. And so my voice was trained in such a way to be loud. I was trained when I was young that we had to yell to such a point where the meeting was very loud. Do you know that as people, sometimes when you're very down and depressed, if you yell a little bit, it makes you feel better. So in prayer meeting, in the times when we were all down, we had to yell, we had to speak very loudly so that everybody was loud. And then we thought it was pretty good. Brothers and sisters, in our prayers, it's not with that method. Later, I realized some brothers and sisters, They prayed very quietly, like a whisper, but they were full of anointing, full of provision. So this altar of incense also needs to be anointed with the oil. And then the great high priest, all of the incense on it had to be brought with a golden censer. This golden censer also tells us is the prayers of the saints, of the people. Today, when we come to the prayer meeting, every single person needs to be full of the anointing oil. Today in our prayer meetings, we really fall short because even in the most stuffy prayer meetings, we don't know how to pray. We have these announcements, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Every brother and sister count these six things, and then the next person counts these six things. And at the end, everybody feels that it's so stuffy. No, that's wrong. Prayer meeting, you need to follow the anointing. Wherever the anointing is, you follow it. So I've said before, some young new believers in their work, in a public place, to be able to follow the Lord in a public place is hard. Even some older brothers and sisters who follow the Lord for many years, it's also difficult for them because they really know how to pray. They don't have the anointing and they know how to open up their mouths and pray. You tell them to pray and immediately they can pray. They don't even have to consider and they can open up their mouths and pray. Brothers and sisters, no. Whether you're young in the Lord or older in the Lord, you all need to follow the anointing. In this prayer before the Lord, then it can be accepted, acceptable before him. And then this perfume and incense, like a fragrance, will come to the throne of God. So he tells us that in the tent of meeting, the altar of incense needs to be covered in the oil. And then it tells us that the ark of the testimony talks about the reality of Christ, the cherubim, the wings of the cherubim. It covers the seat of mercy. And within the Ark of the Testimony, you have the tablets of the commandments, as well as the manna, as well as Aaron's rods that have budded. These three items all speak of the reality of testimony. Today, I don't have any more time to go into detail, but the Ark of the Testimony also needs to be anointed with the oil. So today, testimony is not a doctrine. It's a reality. For God to have reality, it needs to be full of the anointing. So brothers and sisters, in Exodus chapter 30 here, when it talks about how we are to establish and to make the holy anointing oil, and it talks about how every item in the tent of meeting needs to be covered with anointing. And all the priests who come in, they also need to be anointed. And then in this way, it's very easy. This picture tells us that the entire church, especially in our church meeting, from the beginning to the end, every single item needs to have the anointing. Then later when you pray, brothers and sisters, the entire church needs to be anointed. The older brothers and sisters, the young brothers and sisters need to have anointing. The young children in Sunday school need to have the anointing. The preacher needs to have the anointing. The meeting leader needs to have the anointing. The translator needs to have the anointing. The pianist, the usher needs to have the anointing. Even the cooks, the people serving in the kitchen, the ones who are sweeping the floor need to have the anointing. There's not one item in the church that is apart from the anointing. Today, when I talk about this, now you need to understand, you must be clear about it. So may the Lord change and transform our thinking so that we may live a life that is full of the anointing, so that we know now, later, the people of Israel, their deviation away from the right condition. Perhaps, yes, they did anoint, but their hearts were so far from the Lord. This became just a tradition and it became Judaism. It was even worse. So today we need to know that we need to have enough grace from him, sufficient grace from him. So today, this is my burden from Exodus chapter 30. To talk about our church life. And I have already said, as everyone obeys the teaching of the anointing, then naturally we can have a very good habit. This is the habits that the Lord wants us to have. And as you follow the teaching of the anointing, then all these things of formalities and methods will become living. Now, the tabernacle is a great illustration for us. It has a tent, it has a fence, it has an altar, it has the wash basin. There's a table of showbread, as well as the altar of incense and the lampstands and the Ark of the Covenant. Outwardly, it looks like these are physical things, but because of the anointing, it tells us that there are different meanings within it. And these are things that are acceptable to the Lord. To us today, it is a very important revelation. Brothers and sisters in the church, we need to have the anointing. Brothers and sisters, please, in your everyday life, in your daily life, follow the anointing. The more clear, the more detailed you follow, the better. I thank the Lord that brothers and sisters talk about driving, about groceries, these small things. Let's not look lightly upon them, because in it, it encompasses spiritual meaning. Because of the anointing within it, these are not small things. May the Lord show us grace that these are true, that in these end days, that in the church and all locations, there will be many useful vessels. And in the Lord's hands, it is convenient for the Lord to use. We know the Lord is about to complete his work. He so desires that he will have more brothers and sisters that are useful to him. To say that the Lord is here, and to say to the Lord, "Here I am, Lord." Now I am past a few minutes. I must stop here. Now, next time, let me give you the time. It will be August. August 14th. August 14th will be our next gathering time. It's a little bit closer in time. But we will ask all brothers and sisters, particularly those who have memorized in these few weeks, to again, to strive, review from the beginning to end. Memorize several times. And then August 14th, together, we will memorize from chapter 1 to chapter 4. We will memorize the whole book together. Ask brothers and sisters to also pray for this gathering, if the Lord allows. Then after we memorize the book of Colossians, some of the important messages in the book of Colossians, I will have some fellowship with you on this. After we conclude that, then we will go into the book of Ephesians. So may the Lord show us his grace. So as we pursue in this small way, that indeed from the Lord, we can receive abundantly from him. Now today, our meeting will conclude here, but let us have a time of prayer. We ask brothers and sisters, follow the anointing. This is also an opportunity, if you are moved by the Lord, to lead us in a word of prayer. Just a short one, please. Lord, we truly thank you with all our hearts. We thank you that you have spoken these words to us. Lord, we desire for our hearts to truly desire after being a useful vessel in your hand, so that we would truly be those who are obedient to you, and that as a person before you, we would be soft and teachable, so that your testimony Through our obstinance, may it your testimony not suffer loss. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your words. We do pray that every one of us in your presence be those who are taught by your anointing and Holy Spirit, so that in these end days we would testify that we are your children, and that every day we would learn how to follow the teaching of the anointing and be children who please you. Bless us in this gathering. We continue to place it in your hands. Do bless our brother who has faithfully toiled to serve you, and all the young and all the old together on this way. May we move forward. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Oftentimes, using our own human knowledge and understanding and emotions, we touch your mattress. Do forgive us and again cleanse us. From our hearts, we worship you because your way truly is not the way of man. From our hearts, may we truly desire after the teaching of the anointing so that we would have the strong desire, Lord, that if we are not, that we would not look lightly upon the teaching of the anointing and not let things just quickly, easily pass by. May we obey the teaching of the anointing, and may you gain us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord Jesus, I thank you because your way is easy. And it is easy for us to understand. And so within us, may I pay attention to my life before you. There are many times when I am stubborn, but Lord, may your hand not be apart from me until I obey. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Lord, I thank you that today you allow us to hear the testimonies of brothers and sisters having experiences of the anointing, and our brother teach us regarding the anointing. May our hearts truly grasp and be connected with the anointing, that we be sensitive to your anointing so that we would obey more and not be reserved. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, our hearts all want to say before you, here I am, Lord. We want to not only give ourselves to you, but may we as a person, may you have freedom to work in us, to lead us in our daily lives, gain us from small things. In all these details, Lord, may you recover us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Yes, Lord, in the teaching of this anointing, it is true. Lord, we want to love it. Lord, we know that you have not let us go. And we ourselves know at what times we have not obeyed. May you continue your work in us so that we may completely obey and submit before you. May you do this work, so that your name may be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we come before you. We pray that we may truly know the teaching of the anointing in our daily life, how we conduct ourselves, that we would be a person full of the anointing, so that we can bring the anointing into the church gathering and bear your testimony. And in all locations, may your church bear light. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, our meeting will conclude here because the time has passed. We thank the Lord. We will meet everybody again August 14th. The Lord protect you, everyone. Goodbye, everyone.